WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. An American soldier who sprinted into North Korea in July is back in U.S. custody. Correspondent Cammy McCormick has our top story.
Private Travis King crossed into North Korea with a tour group. He was initially on his way to the U.S. from Seoul, South Korea, to face possible disciplinary action over assault charges, but made a sudden dash to the border after leaving the airport. He was transferred to American custody in China and is believed to be in good health and good spirits, according to one U.S. official.
King was supposed to fly to Fort Bliss, Texas when he bolted after serving time in a South Korean prison for assault. In New York City,
Senator, good morning. How are you, sir?
New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez arriving at court, where he's expected to be arraigned this hour on charges of accepting bribes in the form of gold bars and cash from three businessmen looking for favors. Correspondent Nicole Killian is in Manhattan.
Politically, he is facing a lot of calls for his resignation, but he insists even in spite of this court challenge and legal battle he is now facing, that he will continue to do his job in Washington.
Former President Trump is skipping tonight's GOP primary debate at the Reagan Library in California, opting for a primetime speech to auto workers near Detroit. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
Trump's visit is private by invitation only. It's also being done to coincide with the Republican presidential debate. The former president will be hosted by a non-union auto supplier in suburban Detroit. While the UAW has never endorsed Donald Trump, he does count many auto workers among his supporters.
President Biden joined a picket line in Michigan yesterday. Hollywood writers are getting back to work for the first time in almost 5 months, after union board members approved a contract agreement with studios.
We are thrilled, so like I had to call some people out to like have some fun, celebrate, because we got so much of what we wanted. Like, it's overwhelming.
Still no contract negotiations scheduled for striking actors, and tens of thousands of housekeepers, bartenders, cooks, and food servers have authorized a strike against Las Vegas hotels. An American astronaut made history this morning.
Rubio's record ride comes to an end.
A Soyuz capsule carrying Frank Rubio and two cosmonauts landed in Kazakhstan after their mission was doubled. Space consultant Bill Harwood.
Their original Soyuz was disabled by a massive coolant leak last December, and the Russians ultimately decided to launch a replacement. That meant Rubio and company had to spend an extra 6 months in space, pushing their eventual flight to 371 days.
Dow up 23. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Embarrassed?
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Democratic lawmakers in Wisconsin have proposed a package of bills to address the state's workforce shortage and address poverty. The bills would cover things like job and business development programs, skills enhancement programs, public transportation initiatives, and an emergency rental assistance program. The bills would also target homeless issues in the state by starting new programs for housing assistance and requesting a report to the legislature on the number of homeless children in the public school system. Labor leaders in Wisconsin say recent National Labor Relations Board changes will make it easier for residents to unionize, particularly in the service industry. According to a WPR report, companies caught using unfair labor practices under the new NLRB framework will be forced to negotiate with a union, and if a majority of workers express interest in joining a union, the employer is immediately required to bargain with the union or seek an election. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
.us.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Just want to reiterate and reinforce, she's not a new mom yet. We are still waiting for word from Kristen Bry on when LJ has arrived or is arriving.
Baby watch.
Baby watch. We're on baby watch. So as soon as we know anything and we're given the okay to pass it along to you, we certainly will do so. Greg Bach is here, not only on the board today, but also co-hosting, because it is Hump Day Wednesday. Coming up next hour, I'm very excited about this. Watch the live stream so you can see Greg roll his eyes at me. We're going to be talking to Professor David Drake, who's an extension wildlife specialist from UW-Madison, about the flamingos in Wisconsin.
I've referred to him lovingly as your bird boyfriend.
He is my bird boyfriend. We had so much fun the last time he was on the show, so he's going to give us a little update about that. Also at 11:06, Steve Schmelzer with the DNR Parks and Recreation. He is the Management Bureau Director, and they just held an outdoor wheelchair celebration because they're trying to make state parks more accessible. So we will be doing that next hour. This hour, though, we have a very happy Greg Bach this morning.
I'm a happy Greg Bach.
Because the Brewers clinched the division.
We clinched the NL Central again.
This is how many times?
This is four times in the past 5 years, I believe.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken. I don't quote me on that. Don't at me if you want to send angry emails to Jay Weber. But yeah, we did. And it was weird. I was saying this to Kristen Bry's lovely husband, Michael Sampson, yesterday, that it feels weird that even though we lost the Cardinals yesterday 4-1, which was a bummer because they suck, we still win because the Cubs lost.
And that was, that was towards the end of the Brewers game.
Yeah, they actually showed the final swing, and everyone's going crazy in the face of a 4-1 defeat. It's just how math works. Mathing its way through our mathing life.
Yeah, certainly.
So, yeah, I'm very excited. This past month, September has been really good for the Brewers. The bats have really come out. The defense has been really good. The pitching's always great. Even though we are recognized, I still feel like we are wildly underrated in our pitching, but we great pitching. And I just want to see us take it to the next level. And right now I'm just saying, all right, make it past the wild card. That's all I want. Just make it past the wild card. Then the next step.
Right.
Then it becomes, who do we face? Do we face Atlanta or Los Angeles?
And what's the worst choice?
Los Angeles is the one we'd want to face. We were talking about this last week. And they're sputtering a little bit right now. That doesn't mean they won't come back hard in the playoffs.
Sure.
But Atlanta is just unstoppable. They're
really
so good. And I don't want to say it's going to be a trouncing, but it will, if we have to face Atlanta, it will be difficult.
It's going
to
be ugly.
We'll have to play harder than we've played all year long.
Now, I know how much you love baseball.
I love baseball so much.
So what is it about baseball over every other sport that has your loyalty and your love?
So let me preface this. I grew up as a little boy going to baseball games here and there. But then somewhere in my teens, I just started to hate baseball. And I don't know why. To this day, I think it's because all my friends loved it and they understood it better and they knew all the stats. And I'm just like, well, I don't get that stuff. So this is dumb. I just don't like this at all then. That was the way I did things. Like, if I didn't understand, I'm like, boom, like it.
That's stupid.
Surprised I'm not a Republican. Point is, I'm moving on. Is somewhere, like, I realized that my enmity towards baseball grew so large that it almost became like a character trait.
Really?
And it felt like it was too much. So I told myself, you know what? You're going to go to some baseball games next season. And I did. And I genuinely had a really good time. And I got really excited. I got really into it. And the next season, that was 2017. 2018, I went to like 10 games. And I started to go to games by myself because I found that my friends were tailgating and like, oh, we'll go in the third. I'm like, I pay money for tickets. I don't
want to go to the whole game.
I'm not spending money to play cornhole with you in a parking lot. So I would go to games by myself. And then 2019, I went to 25 games.
Wow.
And just, so for me, something about myself, I'll be very open and honest. I suffer from certain mental illnesses, which is depression and other things. It became a source of therapy for me to go to these games because it allowed me to unwind. It allowed me to open up. It allowed me to enjoy being in a communal space where people are enjoying themselves. Even when we're losing, there's still something about that. You're all on the same team.
Sure.
You're wearing matching gear. You're high-fiving strangers, which is something I'm not adept at doing in real life. But in a baseball, in a sports setting, that happens. And for me, like, it would just was baseball. And then there's, of course, all of the beautiful history with it. Now, before, once again, you start texting at me, there is a lot of ugliness in the game of baseball's history, a lot of it. And I admit that and I recognize that, and something we can't go back and change, but we should recognize and always talk about when needed to.
Absolutely.
But there is a joy in it that like lifts me up. And I'm sure other people feel it for football and for basketball and for, you love birds. I mean, I didn't know this about you.
And I high five other birders all the time. Yeah, hey,
birder. And they're like,
yo.
They're like, shut up. We're trying to look at a yellow crusted warbler. I don't know. I just put all those words together. But yeah, for me, there's a beautiful feeling to that, going to a baseball game, even just listening to it on the radio.
That's great.
There's something about it. And
that's soothing and calming. And I'm curious, 844-967-2789, do you find that same kind of comfort and solace in baseball or football? Or
yeah,
I don't necessarily associate calmness and solace with hockey, but maybe that's your thing. I don't know.
There's excitement in that game. I've been to hockey games. That's a very exciting game. That's a game where you're like,
ooh,
yeah,
yeah,
ooh, boy,
yeah, ooh, look out,
oh, the puck. By the way, FCC, I said the puck.
He did say the puck. Okay. Yes.
So yeah, I can't explain it. Well, I guess I did, but it feels good because yeah, I am so I'm very, very excited for where the postseason is going to take us.
And if, tragically,
yeah,
they get knocked out right away,
yeah,
then what?
Take the licks, get bummed for 10 seconds, move on. Also know that I'm not a player, that people are taking it way harder than me, and we move on. The day after the loss, we say, all right, so many days until pitchers report.
Okay.
So it's going for the next year and hoping that if Craig Counsell stays on as the boss, he takes us in the direction, takes us further. hoping that Mark Antanasi opens that purse up a little bit more to spend some more money. There's a lot of, I always did big talk on that. And most importantly, in the macro, in the overview, hope that we as a state can work something out where we're not worried about the Brewers possibly leaving. Do I think they're going to leave? I don't think they're going to leave. But
you don't know, though.
We don't know.
No, you don't. There's no guarantee. There's, yeah. And as you said, though, too, I would certainly hope that they will alter this package, because I don't know that there's a lot of people who are necessarily happy about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the problem is we had the Democrats proposed something that in the long run was fiscally responsible, and the Republicans dive bombed it. And now the Republicans have their program, and the Democrats are against it. City and county has their own thoughts. So now it just seems like, I don't want to say the fans are being held hostage, but we have no control, and I just want them to get together and make a solution that works for everybody.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be absolutely lovely.
Yeah, it would. It really would. Again, I don't think anybody wants to see the Brewers leave, but at the same time, I just don't know how fair that deal is. And so we'll have to see if they can work something out. And I'm glad to know that you're not one of those people who, like, has to lay down after a loss.
No, I mean, I get bummed and I get angry, but then I move on. I got things to do. I have bills to pay. So
844-967-2789. Price is on the line from Texas. Good morning, Price.
Hey, I'm glad you recognize my number. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Just echoing off what Greg said about baseball, yeah, I love baseball, especially in the summertime and late summertime and fall, especially when they're in the playoff hunt. And I'm going to be an old guy here and say I just love listening to baseball on AM radio with the crackles and and the old timey sound, and then you mix euchre into that, and it's a whole thing, and it's just, especially on a nice and when the Brewers are winning, it's very calming and it's very relaxing, and just sitting there, you're having a beer and you're listening to baseball, and going to baseball is fun. And baseball is great because it's the perfect, like, stoner sport. You know, you go there, you're just like, oh, wow.
Price, that's illegal.
So nice. Wow, look, everything's so green. Oh, everything's so nice. Oh, something exciting happened. Yay. Okay. And then we all sit back down. It's like, all right. But yeah, I love baseball. I agree with Greg. I love AM radio. You guys have a great, great day.
Thanks, Price.
Thank you so much, Price. Really appreciate that. 844-967-2789. You can always call and or text, or you can download the Civic Media app, and then you can text directly from the app, which is pretty slick. And the app is very, very, very easy to use. I was even able to download it all on my own, by my own self. So I encourage you to check that out. And again, you can get it wherever you do your app things.
That was
your app store. You're at the place where there are apps.
When you're apping it up, people.
Yes, when you're apping it up. All right.
It just happens to be.
Oh, I see what you did there. All right, we're coming up against a break. When we come back, we're going to shift gears a little bit. Ooh, some more bad news for the former president. And we'll take your calls on that as well. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come catch the fever. The fever with brewing is for everyone. You'll be a believer in brewer fever when you feel the excitement of the big home run. Stomping your feet, clapping your hands. You're part of the team sitting in the stands. Come see what's brewing. The Milwaukee Brewers.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs.
And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A little fog this morning, then it is going to be mostly cloudy with a few off and on sprinkles here throughout the day. Our high 67, the wind east at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, but there will be a little more sunshine, especially in the afternoon, high of 71. We're going to kick it back to summer for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Lots of sunshine with highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Wisconsin. I'm Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry and Greg Bach. We are still on what?
Baby watch.
Thank you. We are still on baby watch. No news to share right now as we wait for LJ to arrive. It's not going to be that, but that's okay. I'm going to indulge myself for the next couple of days while I still can before she comes. So anyway, we were talking about baseball, the Brewers clinching the NL Central Division.
Correct.
Last night. Very happy. Lots of happy people. Very happy Greg Bry. Greg Bach. Wow. Whoops. And then we got a text, Matt from Germantown. Speaking of the Brewers, thank you, Civic Media, for the Brewers tickets last night. Great seats. Lots of fun. But we lost. My wife's and my record for the year now is 0-5, including a terrible loss to Oakland. I was hoping that being such a great organization, you would have provided me with tickets to a winning game. Perhaps you can rectify this and send us to another game to get a win. Thank you for your consideration.
Well, then I will send that comment up the flagpole. We'll see where that gets us. Yeah, you went to the Oakland's A's series where we got swept by the worst team in baseball.
Painful.
I was embarrassed wasn't even the word. Like, shocking. Like, I never expect anything to be easy. I never expect, like, oh, it's going to be a cakewalk.
Sure.
But swept by the A's. Come on. What are we doing?
Well,
am I playing?
Hopefully, this will start a new trajectory. Even though they lost last night, they still clinched the division. So we will see what happens next year. Radcliffe from JS Online, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, is going to be joining us tomorrow. So we'll be talking more about this and what we can look forward to because they will start next week, right? Wild card starts next week.
Yes. Yes. Wow. We are already in October. Holy crumb.
Yeah. It's hard to believe. All right. Big news yesterday. More bad news for the former president, a ruling by a New York judge that Donald Trump had committed fraud a devastating blow, according to legal experts. If not successfully appealed, the decision revokes the Trump Organization's business certificates, which are the corporate licenses held by Trump, his family, the Trump Organization, that would stop the 77-year-old from conducting business in New York State until the revocation is rescinded. John Moscow, who is a former financial crimes prosecutor, says this decision means you are no longer a company, and the judge is appointing someone to take over the assets and distribute them as the court sees fit. So, in essence, it was determined by Manhattan Supreme Court Justice Arthur Engoron that Trump greatly exaggerated the value of his wealth to secure favorable terms with banks, which ultimately led him to, you know, worldwide fame and then ultimately into the White House. This is not good news for Donald Trump.
We would classify this as a major oopsie doodles.
That is the technical and, I believe, legal term for that, Greg Bach. Yeah, it's pretty amazing, and it will, of course, they're going to appeal this, but it does seem like his decade-long ploy of delay, 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 appeal, 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 put it off, put it off, put it off, is not working as well as it used to.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not a good strategy, and the thing that scares me the most, though, is that somehow he will get into the White House again and it will all go away. Because as I found out, you don't have to not be a felon to, like, he could get convicted on every single charge. He could still be the president.
That's, how is that possible?
I don't know. You could run for president. I should say run for president.
You can run, but can you be a felon?
But once he gets in office, that can all go away. Because in a year's time, 91 counts or 91 charges, that's not going to be a year. That's going to be longer. He's going to make it last until.
Oh, and drag it out as long as possible. Yeah. But it will also be interesting to see if any of these court cases get moved up. I mean, I think the case in Georgia is set for March.
Yes.
And that could move up. Again, it's going to depend upon whether or not he continues to violate his gag order by talking about prosecutors, by talking about potential witnesses.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is why isn't this guy in jail for contempt, at least?
That's a whole nother. Do you really put him in jail?
Why not?
Does that help? Doesn't that help him? It doesn't seem, I mean, 91 indictments hasn't seemed to change the support he has. Doesn't that just make him more of a martyr?
At this point, we have no choice. It's going to be, he wins. He loses, he's a martyr. Like, we have no wiggle room. I mean, and that's the big problem, is that even if he wins, even if he loses, we somehow lose, because he's still in the news. He's still going to make money. The people who support him fervently are going to be even more obnoxious so. About it. So we're just trapped in the middle. And frankly, if he is breaking the law, if he's violating gag orders and he's being obnoxious, throw him in jail for two nights.
Well, and I'm afraid, too, that, as we know, there are some people who will take those pearls of wisdom that he drops when he targets someone. And there are people who will take that to heart and who will actually go out and do something about it.
Yeah.
And we certainly don't want that to happen.
If he goes to jail and he loses, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, it will be interesting. All right, we're coming up against the break. The bottom of the hour news is next when we come back. The good, the bad, the man from UNCLE. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network. That boy is a monster.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. American soldier Travis King is back in U.S. custody in China after he was expelled by North Korea. He'd served time in South Korea for assault before crossing over. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
He is said to be in good health and good spirits. He sprinted across the border into North Korea 2 months ago and was declared AWOL by the U.S. government. He now could face time in a military jail and a dishonorable discharge.
Senator Robert Menendez arrived at court in New York this morning.
Senator, good morning. How are you, sir?
The Democrats being arraigned on charges of accepting gold bars and cash in exchange for favors to three businessmen. American astronaut Frank Rubio's back on Earth after setting a new record of 371 days in space. Consultant Bill Harwood.
Frank Rubio says he expects it'll take a few months before he gets his land legs back. The absence of gravity definitely takes its toll on the body's vestibular system, that is, its ability to balance.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A study conducted by Addiction Treatment Magazine found Wisconsin had the seventh highest percentage of underage drinkers in the country. The study found that nearly 20% of Wisconsin residents between 12 and 20 years old had used alcohol within the previous month, about 125,000 people. The study also found 10.6 had binged alcohol in the past month. The other states in the top seven include Vermont, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Oregon, and Iowa. The National Park Service's annual report on economic effects of visitor spending found nearly 672,000 people visited national parks in Wisconsin last year, spending around $66 million. According to a WPR report, the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway was responsible for a large uptick in national park visits, seeing just over 100,000 more people last year. Between Wisconsin and Minnesota, people spent about $41 million supporting the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a serial strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
Goes Wisconsin. Kristen is on maternity leave. We are still on baby watch. We'll let you know what's going on once we know. And right now there is nothing to share with you. So we're just going to go on. Hopefully in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Hopefully definitely. In the next couple of days. Good, the bad, the man from Uncle.
Yep.
Going to start with, this is good news. Visitors spent $66 million at Wisconsin National Park sites last year. According to a report from WPR, nearly 672,000 people visited Wisconsin's national parks last year, supporting 1,000 jobs and bringing in about $66 million. National parks drew 5% more visitors last year than 2021. Visitor spending also increased, Wisconsin getting about 2% more visitors, or almost 15,000 more people than in 2021. So spending still remains above levels prior to the COVID pandemic, which is great, great news. I love to see people get out and enjoy our, we have such wonderful natural resources in this state.
I mean, honestly, if you live in a city like Milwaukee, get in your car, just drive an hour west on the freeway too. You don't even have to go like on the back roads. Drive an hour west on the freeway and you will see gorgeous colors, gorgeous. It's just absolutely beautiful here. And a place that I would honestly like right here in Waukesha, if you take Waukesha, I take Sunset Drive west towards Wales.
Okay.
Just, and that is literally a 20 minute drive, no further. The expanse is beautiful. Is absolutely, this state is so gorgeous. And, it is and, so
and,
much.
And so varied.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. We have so much to offer.
Except we, so fine, we don't have mountains. Okay. I'll give you that.
But we have places like Devil's Rock, which
Devil's
is,
Lake
Sands. Devil's Lake is, has beautiful formations that, yes, they're not mountains, but they're the closest, maybe the closest things we have. I'll take it.
I would also suggest, and I know we've talked about this before, the southwestern corner of the state, right along the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
And B-Town and mm-hmm. all those little teeny towns that crawl up as you go north along the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. It's so peaceful. Mm-hmm. The colors, the eagles, the if you really need to reconnect, you know, with nature and yeah. water and all of that stuff.
The majesty.
Yeah, definitely. The Apostle Islands.
Yeah.
That's one of my, Bayfield is one of my favorite places in the world.
Bayfield's beautiful.
And so.
Listen to Greg and Jane just talk about Wisconsin.
Our love letter to this state.
Yeah.
Always love to know where you like to go. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Where's your favorite state park? Where's your favorite place to go in the state of Wisconsin? The one thing, though, that I guess I'm going to take away from this also is while it's great that we have more visitors at our national park sites, if there is a government shutdown, those parks will close.
If they're national,
don't they?
Yeah,
if they're national. If it's a national park.
If it's a national park, which I don't know if Wisconsin has a national park. I don't think we do yet. Those are all state-run parks.
Okay.
So they should be fine.
But if you're talking about Yellowstone or someplace like that,
Acadia, any place like that,
will close down,
and you won't be able to enjoy them. And that is how the shutdown can hit us in those small places. And then what we were talking about before, if you are on Social Security, you will get your check. But if you're trying to apply, you will be put on hold.
Yeah.
And that's no bueno as well.
No, it's not. And I saw another interview with a woman. I believe that she's a cafeteria worker in Washington in Congress. And
yeah, they go home.
They go home and they don't get paid and they don't get back pay either.
No, they do not. And to listen to Kevin McCarthy talk about his Republican friends and I'm asking, why are they even doing this at this point? Where are we now? Where are we? I feel like we took the good and just stepped on it. What did we do?
I don't disagree with you. And I don't know that anybody knows where we are.
Yeah.
And I think what's really frustrating, again, is it's this small group of very fringe, far-right people who are doing this to the entire country. Like Tommy Tuberville. One guy is able to hold up all of these military promotions to grandstand. In essence, to grandstand.
Yep.
So that's where we are with that.
But, you know, we have a text, though, from the 262 saying, Greg, if you like the drive on Sunset from Waukesha to Wales, you'll love the glacial Drumlin Trail that takes even more scenic route out that way. A perfect path for an easy bike ride.
Ooh.
Also a great place, too, in Madison, the Arboretum.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Beautiful. And you know what they have there? Birds.
Birds.
So many birds.
Oh, well, now that's a lock for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that text in the 262.
Absolutely. You can always check in 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Call and or text or download our app And you can text directly from that. It's pretty slick. Good, the bad, and the man from Uncle. Moving on to the bad. Yep, for some, student loan repayments will be restarting soon. In the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, Wisconsin borrowers feeling overwhelmed and confused. Yeah. It's about 42 months and 9 extensions. The pandemic-induced pause on student loans is lifting. It ends on October 1st.
Yeah, that is a sticky one for me. I paid my loans throughout the entire thing. I never stopped.
Which was really smart of you.
Now, I also understand that my loan payment was far less than many people. I was very much able to afford them, and I understand that some people couldn't afford it. But I found it baffling that if you're in the situation where you have to, I get it. But some people were just like, I'm just gonna wait. I mean, it's not good. I mean, that is a lot of payment. Look, if you're listening and you had to because of financial reasons, because of the pandemic, I get it. And that not criticizing or calling you a name or anything like that. But if you were doing it just because I don't want to do it right now, I just want to save the money.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. It's not a great idea because again, those loans aren't going away.
Nope. Not at all. Not one bit.
844-967-2789 844-96-PARTY. I see we have a caller on the line. Good morning. Who's this?
Morning. Is that me?
That is you.
Oh, hi. This is a general question for the Shaw. I've been listening for the last couple of months just accidentally, and I get a kick out of all the variety of things that you have. All of a sudden, like 2 weeks ago, I realized there's no advertisements on your thing. Who pays you?
We have advertisements.
Oh, I don't hear them.
Oh.
I mean, do you get paid by advertising?
That is part of the business model.
Yeah, we do. And we do have sponsors. We have advertisers who have commercials. They play between breaks. And we assure you, we have advertisers.
And we are actually getting paid.
Yes, I promise you.
Yes.
But thank you. Thank you so much for the question.
And we appreciate your concern.
Thank you very much.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. I'm curious, do you have school loans? And if you do, how much debt are you carrying?
Yeah.
Because when I was in college, which is a long time ago, a semester was like $3,000. I know, back in the olden days when we had horses and...
We read our books from stone tablets.
That's how we did it. So when I see kids getting out of college with like $35,000, $60,000 worth of debt is just mind-boggling.
$35,000 is below the median now.
It's below the median.
Yep, below the median.
I can't even... Yeah. I can't even wrap my head around that. I mean, that's a mortgage. Well, it's a big down payment for a house. It's a huge down payment. I mean, and even the loan that we took out for our house, which is the most money I've ever owed for anything.
Yeah.
It's got to be just terrifying.
When I walked out of school in 2008, I had about a $50,000 bill to pay.
50 grand.
Yep. Yep. And it took me 15 years to pay it off. And I mean, and I probably would have been sooner had I been a little more responsible. And that's the other thing too, is when we're talking about student loans, one of the things that should come with it is education on your student loan, what you need to take, what you don't need to take, get grants, how you should pay back, things like that. But that's a whole other conversation.
For sure.
I would teach a class on that.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. Matt from Germantown. If the government shuts down and we have federal loans, do those go on pause? Ha ha.
Oh, Matt from Germantown, you are a fancy, fancy funny.
No, I don't believe those get paused. Doesn't really seem to work like that. But again, in this article in today's JS Online, Olivia Steele graduated from UW-Madison in 2016 with a bachelor's degree and about $25,000 in debt. I drive an old car. I don't go on fancy trips or anything. She works full-time, also pursuing a master's degree full-time. The cost of living in Madison, she says, is a huge factor in why she's going to struggle to make her $450 a month payments for her student loans.
I mean, that's it's It's car payments. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
So I feel for these people. I know a friend and former colleague of mine who lived with along the envelope rule. And so when she would get paid every payday, she had an envelope and she would do this with cash.
Oh, gotcha.
Every payday, she would put the rent payment in one envelope, the car payment in another envelope. She had one envelope for discretionary spending.
Yeah.
But everything was allocated first.
Yep.
Before there was any discretionary spending.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I don't do it like that specifically, but I mean, like, I was very, very anal retentive at how I paid my bills.
Yep.
Because I was also a person, when I graduated from college, I had a 520 credit score.
Ooh.
And that didn't feel good to be 30 and that. So I took real steps to building my credit, to paying my bills. Like I said, I faltered many times. Not defaulted, but faltered many times.
Sure.
On paying them. But I learned a lot of lessons, and yeah, I wish we had a high school course in financial responsibility.
They really should.
Like, mandated.
Yes, they really should. I think that's a wonderful idea, just about how interest works.
Yeah, exactly. Just interest.
The basic, real basic stuff, right?
Yeah. We got a text from the 541. I don't even know where the 541 is, but the 541. Would it be possible to allow/encourage the federal employees getting furloughed next week to start working in the private sector and not return, leaving the congresspeople without support staff for the next couple of years?
Wow.
I bet you most of those people don't even know how to make coffee there.
I understand where you're going. I don't see that happening.
No, not at all. They'd refill those jobs within
pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, within a day.
Pretty quickly. Not that that would necessarily be a good thing. Some of those people have institutional knowledge that we need.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I don't mind. But the Congress people shouldn't get paid either.
That's not going to
happen. How about we do that?
Yeah, well, actually, if we started with that, let's start with stopping their salaries.
Absolutely.
And see how quickly it would take them then to reverse their decision and make an agreement and actually, I don't know, do some work.
There would never be another shutdown again, ever.
There shouldn't be any more shutdowns. It doesn't accomplish anything. And again, I don't think that it works out in their favor.
Absolutely not. I don't think so at all. So
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We're going to move on. When we get back from the break, it's the good, the bad, and the man from UNCLE.
Ooh.
Ilya Kiryakin and David McCollum. We're going to memorialize him right after this. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always
always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
A little fog this morning, then it is going to be mostly cloudy with a few off and on sprinkles here throughout the day. Our high 67, the wind east at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, but there will be a little more sunshine, especially in the afternoon, high of 71. We're going to kick it back to summer for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Lots of sunshine with highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Wisconsin, Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. We are going through the good, the bad, and the Man from U.N.C.L.E. And that is actually the theme song from The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, yeah.
It's so 60s spy.
It's so swinging, baby.
Right? It really is.
It's going to fight crime and go sexy party.
It's so true. David McCallum, who played Ilya Kuryakin on The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
You say that with such ease, too, by the way.
Ilya Kuryakin.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the show ran from 1964 to 1968, so I was four until I turned eight.
Oh, boy.
And I'm not sure at what point that show entered my awareness.
Yeah.
But I had two older brothers, and that was kind of a cool boy thing, so I'm sure that's how I got exposed to it.
That time frame is just like the cradle of spy. Like, you got James Bond, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., I Spy.
You got
so many shows and movies that are spy driven.
Yes, Get Smart.
Get Smart. Shout out to Mel Brooks and Peter.
Yes.
Buck Henry. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so it made such an impression on me, and I don't know if David McCallum, who is Scottish, actually, if that's the first non-American accent I had ever heard, but that really clicked with me. It was like, ooh, it's so exotic. It's just, ooh.
Who's that fancy man, mother?
And he was cool and suave.
And then he went on to play Ducky on NCIS. That's where most people got, people my age and younger were exposed to David McCallum was playing Ducky, this sweet doctor on the show who was just so funny and brought that wonderful wry British sense of humor to the show. I loved him. And what people don't know, well, actually some people might know, he was a musician too back in the 60s.
That's right.
And I got some stuff for you. I showed this to you yesterday. For those who might not know this, David McCallum is an inspiration to one Mr. Andre Young, a.k.a.
Dr. Dre.
So we're all familiar with this song. I'm going to play this a little bit of this song. This is the next episode by Dr. Dre. We all know this. You hear it in the car, you slump a little bit, you get crazy. It's wonderful. You get on a dance floor, oh my gosh, here comes the beat.
Everybody knows it. Yep. It's the one and only Eagle
Double G. Snoop Dogg. We all know that one.
Yep.
But what we don't know, most people don't know, is that is a sample of a song called The Edge off of a 60s album by David McCallum. Here is the original.
Yeah. Oh, that is blowing my mind.
Yeah, right?
That is great.
Yeah.
What is it called?
The Edge.
The Edge.
It's called Music, A Bit More of Me.
Well.
Here comes. Gotta love some 60s horn. There we go. So, yeah, I mean, that means that Dr. Dre was searching records one day and found that and was like, yeah.
I need that.
I'm turning that into a hit.
Exactly. And he did.
Oh, yeah.
And he did. Yeah, he was, I mean, he did several albums.
Yeah. He was a prolific man. And he didn't really, I mean, that was something that didn't really come out until recently either.
That he was involved in all these different things?
Yeah. Yeah, he was a very prolific, he may call him a Renaissance man. Who knows?
Well, and I've, to be honest with you, I've never seen NCIS. Not even one episode.
It's catnip for old people.
Well, and now I'm just because he played this Dr. Ducky Mallard.
Yeah.
Now I want to go back and watch it.
Oh, just watch it. You'll love it.
Because
you'll love it.
From what I understand, he kind of carried that same kind of too cool for school, mm-hmm. laid back, mm-hmm. you know, completely non-flappable
yep.
kind of guy. Suave.
He was the man from NCIS.
He was the man from NCIS. And then... For a real deep dive, he actually was in, I think, 2 episodes of Sex and the City. He was the father of one of Carrie's many boyfriends.
Oh, boy.
He was a professor.
Of course he was.
Same kind of thing. Same kind of thing.
I do not like you seeing my son.
No, he was very warm and welcoming, but very quirky and a little odd.
A little odd.
All right. Well, that's it for today. The good, the bad. The man from Uncle, David McCollum, you will be missed.
You will be missed. Ducky, we loved you.
Yep, he passed away Monday at the age of 90.
Get it.
Yeah.
Get it.
That's pretty cool. Okay, coming up next hour, I'm very excited. We're going to be joined by Steve Schmelzer, is the DNR Parks and Rec Management Bureau Director, and they recently held an outdoor celebration because they are trying to make our wonderful Wisconsin State Parks more accessible.
It's fantastic.
It is fantastic. And I know that there are cabins and other things along with some of these other programs that they're really making a genuine effort to encourage everybody to get outside and enjoy what we have. So that's pretty cool. So he will be joining us at 11:06. At 11:30.
Oh boy.
There is a new trend in Brazil.
Yeah.
For men.
Yep.
Greg doesn't seem particularly thrilled about it.
Just don't get it.
I'm looking forward to your comments on whether or not this particular type of barbershop is something that would appeal to you.
And what kind of barbershop is it? You'll have to stick around.
You're going to have to wait. That's called a tease.
That's
called a tease.
It's called industry parlance.
Yes. And then finally, the last segment, Professor David Drake, who is an extension wildlife specialist at UW-Madison, is going to be joining us. He was on just a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the appearance of the roseate spoonbill in Green Bay. And now we have flamingos in Wisconsin. And he was out of the office, and I emailed him on Sunday night. And I'm like, I know this is really last minute, David, but come on. Flamingos, seriously, we need you. So he's going to be joining us at 11:50 to explain as far as he can how those birds ended up here and whether or not how long they'll be sticking around.
All right. Can I read a couple of really quick texts before we get out of here?
Yes,
we got about 1 minute left.
Yep.
From the 501, David M. also played Judas in The Greatest Story Ever Told.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of snark from the 262. Where they say, hopefully the one caller heard the Brookfield Oktoberfest commercial. Yeesh. I didn't mean to open a can of worms on that one.
Yeah.
And then Lynn from Oconomowoc, I love Lynn from Oconomowoc. She said that Rock Island Boathouse on Rock Island State Park is beautiful to go to.
Never been there. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah. So we are appreciate for your text. Love the interaction. If you want to text us or call us, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY.
We will be right back after the break at the top of the hour news. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.